to welcome along to the Property Academy podcast by Opus Partners. I'm your host, Stephen Knight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
And today on the show, we're talking about how property developers can get their deals and get their projects off the ground. This is really cool because we recently did an event for developers up in Auckland in partnership with Lateral Partners. I think we had about 100 developers turn up in total.
Yeah, it was a good event. It was the first ever developer-specific event we've done.
And one of the things that was really important was just to share a bit more data about where developers should be building properties, specifically in the Auckland market, and some things to think about when you are getting a couple of projects off the ground. Now, Andrew, let's start off. The first thing is to figure out, where am I going to build my properties? So okay. What do developers need to know about here?
Okay, so the big thing you got to ask yourself if you're going to develop is, who's going to buy my properties and what do those people want? And you've got to be really clear on who your customer is. Now, you can sell to owner-occupiers, you can sell to first-time buyers, you can sell to investors. And I think there's a good argument for focusing on investors to get those pre-sales up.
Why is that?
Well, I think the biggest thing is developers often want those pre-sales because that will help them get their lending from a bank or from a funder. And pre-sale, by the way, is getting a contract on the property before it's built. So if someone's signing up to buy it today, but it's not finished today, it'll be finished in 12 months' time. That would normally be a turnkey project.
Yeah, so that's basically saying, I'm going to build 10 properties, 10 units, and I've already sold 5 of them. I've already got 5 signed up customers. So Mr. Banker, you've got the confidence to give me the money to go out and build that.
Yeah, now from a developer's standpoint, this does a couple of things. Firstly, it decreases the risk that the property you build is going to end up being built and not sold. So right now you can see a lot of developers carrying quite a lot of stock, which means that they've built these properties thinking that there was a market to sell them. Often you'll get more money selling them at the end. And so that's why you don't want to do complete pre-sale. So a developer might say, right, I want this to be looking really nice so I can stage it, get premium top dollar. Fletchers do all of their builds like that. Then they get to completion, and if the market's changed or the market wasn't there in the first place because they were building 1.5-bedroom studio units in the middle of Rangiora, which is way out north Canterbury, maybe that market doesn't exist and you only know that at the end. So as a developer, it massively de-risks you because you can actually identify that, yes, that market exists. The person that's going to be buying that property off me wants that property.
And then there's also an argument too about getting access to cheaper debt.
So if you don't do pre-sales because you say, right, I want to get all my money at the end, you either need to have the cash to do the build or you have to go to a second-tier lender. Now, that costs a lot more than going to a bank. But if you go to a bank and get cheaper interest rates and cheaper fees, you're likely to have to sell the project. Maybe it's 70%, maybe it's 80%. In some instances, it might be 100% before the bank will advance you the money to start the project.
Okay, so I can get away with putting less money in. I can get access to a cheaper interest rate if I go ahead and get some pre-sales. And so specifically, why would you go for investors to get those pre-sales if you're a developer?
Well, if you think owner-occupiers are really emotive and they're driven by what they see and they probably want to move into this house right now because they found out that they can borrow money and they just want something that's finished. I see it all the time. As soon as someone who's a first-time buyer gets an approval, they want a property that's finished now. Investors don't really care when a property's finished, you know, to some extent. So I kind of think of, in a market like this where interest rates are high but prices are low, it's ideal if the property isn't finished today because hopefully by the time it's finished, the price has gone up and the interest rates have come down. So if it takes 1 year, if it takes 2 years, if it takes 20 years, I don't care, so long as I'm getting today's price in 20 years' time.
And I suppose what we're talking about here is, if you want to start developing properties, one of the first things you want to think about is getting those pre-sales, because that's where you get the cheaper debt. You've got more confidence that you're going to be able to go ahead and build those properties. And then the question is, well, how can you get those pre-sales? Well, we often think that investors are a good target market for those. And then you've got to say, well, okay, I've got to build the properties that investors want. And there are three main things that we see investors want. They want an affordable price. They want to be buying in a location that's got a good chance at going up in value, so that's what we call capital growth, and then also a good yield. And one of the tools that developers can use, whether you're just starting out or you're a very experienced developer, to figure out, well, where are those good capital growth rates and where are those good yields, is to use a map like this, which is actually just on our website on opuspartners.co.nz. And right now we're looking at house prices in Auckland, or a range of suburbs in Auckland, and where house prices have gone up the fastest. And what we can see is there are some very expensive parts of Auckland where house prices have gone up very quickly. So places like you'd expect, Remuera, Grey Lynn, Westmere, Herne Bay, Tap Peninsula, those kinds of areas. But then also places in like Mangere, near the airport, Mangere East, Mangere Bridge, you know, even places like Ōtara, house prices have gone up quite quickly there. And so an investor who is focused on the numbers would be quite interested in these types of areas. And then similarly, if you look at the same data, but looking at yields now, South Auckland and also West Auckland have quite high gross yields, which means that investors are more likely to be looking at South and West Auckland when thinking of making a property purchase. It also happens that those are the places that are more affordable. I remember I once did a YouTube video talking about South and West Auckland. Do you remember what I called them?
The corridors of wealth or something like that.
It was
that.
The corridors of affordability, yeah, which is a stupid name for it. But then people remembered it and I thought it was stupid. But anyway, those are some of the areas that you might start to look at when you're thinking, or some of the data that you might start to look at when you're thinking about developing. Just so you know, we have that data on our website for every single major town in New Zealand. So even if I go to the Manawatu Whanganui region, I think I have got the growth and yield data both for Palmerston North, but then I have also got it in there for Whanganui as well. So we've got that for a range of different cities where you can see that. So the first thing is you're looking for those places that better capital growth, better yield. Definitely investors will be interested in that. But then you've also got to think about demand and supply and where your competition is building, because you might say, okay, well, South Auckland, you know, great place to develop. Investors will be very interested there. But if every other developer is building in South Auckland, well, maybe there's too much competition. And so I've actually recently found a way to crunch the data on this. And so for all of you guys watching on YouTube, what I've got in front of you is a map of Auckland with where all of the townhouse developments are. Now, I'll describe it for all of you guys listening to the audio version of this as well. But there is significant competition in West Auckland at the moment. So, for instance, Synergy Capital Group is planning 269 units on Bruce McLaren Road out in Henderson. There are another 143 units that are currently in planning on Chamberlain Road by a company called DF Creating Limited. And so we're looking at townhouses that have not started being built yet, that the construction's not started, but they are currently in the pipeline. Compare that to a place like North Auckland, and we don't see anywhere near as much townhouse development being built up there. So yeah, Wolfbrook's building 11 units out in what suburbs? That Beachhaven, we're seeing a couple of developments around there. But North and South Auckland in particular don't have as much competition. And just to put this in numbers, out in West Auckland, there are currently just over 1,800 units, townhouses, that are being planned out in West Auckland. Now, that is almost three times as many townhouses that are currently being planned in South Auckland. So if I'm just thinking about where are the best stats, well, West Auckland and South Auckland have really good stats for property investors. But if I was a developer, I'd be saying, well, there's so much competition coming up in West Auckland. And I'm going to assume that if construction hasn't started, maybe these properties haven't hit the market yet. So I'm actually going to try and develop somewhere else because there's just too much competition out there. And then, Andrew, of course, once you decide, okay, I want to develop out in North Auckland, or, you know, let's say it's not even Auckland, it's Christchurch or Wellington. The next question is, okay, I found a great area that I want to build in. Now the question is, what do I build in that area?
Yeah, so you've got to think about what your tenant is going to want if you're going to promote these properties to investors. If you want to make your investors your buyers, you need to be thinking about what tenants are looking for. And we've just released a new tool, which is available on our website, the tenant tool, where you can actually go in and look at a suburb. So take, for example, Mangere. So chuck in Mangere, and let's compare Mangere Bridge and Mangere. Now we can see what the demographics of households are there. So the majority of households are single families for pretty much both of them, but a little bit less for, what is it, Mangere Bridge.
What's really interesting is even if you look in Mangere, the number of single people is really, really low. So only 7% of households are single people compared to 31% in Mangere Bridge. Now, that would probably tell us about the number of bedrooms that somebody would want. So in Mangere, there's not many one-bedroom properties there, so I probably wouldn't be building one-bedroom properties in Mangere, but they could be more of a goer in Mangere Bridge, where there are a lot more tenants who live in one-bedroom properties.
And so what we can see from the data is that the majority of people want a two- or a three-bedroom townhouse or house in this particular area. So now I know, okay, well, if I'm going to build some townhouses, I probably want to capture the bulk of the market, so two- and three-bedroom units.
And Andrew, you've developed properties in the past, and so how much, let's say you do all of this, you get the pre-sales, how much is this going to save you all up in terms of your funding costs?
So Lateral Partners had some really interesting numbers around what the financing costs would look like with or without pre-sales. So without pre-sales, on a project of about $7.5 million, you've got a total financing cost of about $600,000, so quite a lot of money. If you are a developer that sells off plans and you have pre-sales, you can get that down as low as $375,000. So there's a $215,000 saving by doing that in, you know, what is a relatively small development of $7.5 million.
So you're probably talking about, I don't know, 10 units sold for $800,000 each once you take off the GST. But look, a savings of $215,000 is savings of $215,000.
I'd rather have that in my back pocket than the banks. So step one is get your pre-sales. And I truly think that focusing on investors is the right thing to do. And I'm completely biased. We have a property investment company where we recommend new build investments to investors. So we know that market pretty well. So absolutely there is a bias there. But I do think investors are far more likely, and we've seen a lot of active investors over this downturn, I'd say probably more active investors than we have owner-occupiers.
Well, I think the main thing is our bias is to try and get as many developers to build good quality investment properties, right? And say, follow this process so you build in the right areas and then build properties for our investors. That's what our bias is. So first one's to get your pre-sales. The second one there is to have a hard look at the data to understand, well, what investors really want and also where the competition is building. And what do you see as the biggest mistakes that first-time developers or any developers actually make, Andrew?
Well, actually, one of the things that even experienced developers do is they'll go and buy a chunk of land and go, oh, great, I can fit 14 units on here and four of them need to be one bedrooms and the rest can be two bedrooms. I can maximise my profits this way. Let's do it. And when the market's hot, everything sells. But when the market slows down, like we've seen, now you're left holding a whole lot of stock that isn't fit for what your buyers want. So you really have to flip this on its head and start by looking at what is going to attract a buyer for this rather than think, how can I maximize the profit in this deal?
And of course, maximizing your profit as a business owner is incredibly important. But there's no point looking at a piece of land and saying, what can I cram onto the site without thinking, well, can I actually sell what I'm building? Because there are so many businesses that are like, cool, I've come up with this new idea for a product, I'm going to build the product, and then they've got this product, but nobody wants to buy it. So starting with the end consumer, which could be a first home buyer, it could be an owner-occupier, or in this case, it could be an investor, and saying, what do they want? How do we use data to make sure we're making a good decision rather than building an $8 million development, then saying, right, who's going to buy this thing? How are we going to sell it? Think about the customer first. It's going to decrease your interest rates. It's going to decrease your total financing costs. And it's going to decrease your risk in building this. And at a time where a lot of developers are unfortunately falling over, are unfortunately doing it very tough, this is the way you want to go about doing it. Right, let's wrap it up there. But please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Really does help us get the message out to more people. And hey, if you're listening to the audio version of this and you want to see the data we're talking about, just go to Google and type in Opus Partners YouTube. It'll be the first thing that comes up. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you hit the subscribe button. We release new videos on YouTube every Monday and Wednesday. Thanks for listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Stephen Knight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
We're going to be back again tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics, and insights to help you get the most out of the New Zealand property market. Until next time.